Thank you. As always, I love your music here. It's just wonderful. Just praise God for that, and well, how beautiful it is. I know everybody's fired up to be back in church today, right? It is awesome to be able to come back together. And, I pray for you guys all the time. I am the Director of Missions for the Clinton Baptist Association, and thank you guys for being a part of the association. I pray for you all every day. You know, I didn't realize this till I became a director of missions, what the Apostle Paul said. You know, he talked about all of the persecutions that he went through, which I don't think any of us really have gone through that. But the one thing that I can relate to is he said, besides all this, my daily concern for the churches. And I do get that. And I pray for you all. I'm thrilled that you've got your worship service back to 11 o'clock, too. That helps me to be able to come out here. Actually, I guess because it snowed so much and people got out of the habit, all the preachers are all fired up and can't wait to preach now. I told Jack, my calendar's clear for a while. I can come back every Sunday for a while. If you want to do that, it fills up in a hurry, though. I think consistency would be good, and it gives us the ability to come together. I want you to open your Bible to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10, and we're going to look together, and I'm going to focus on the last few verses of that, blind Bartimaeus. And, as I prayed about it, what I need to share here this morning, that is the scripture and the message that God gave me. And I got up this morning and turned on the TV, and there were a couple of Christian songs, and one of them, the name of the song was Blind Bartimaeus. And I thought, I knew that's where I was coming. And later on, another song came out and had that in the stanza. I thought, maybe that's a confirmation from God. So I hope it is. So we will see. Hopefully it'll bless you. And just as we're turning there, I just want to say that, if you know the story of Bartimaeus, that God healed him of blindness. Jesus healed him of blindness. But when you look at this entire chapter, that's really not the story. The main story behind that, and it's kind of what I want to look at, is the greatest trade that you could possibly ever make. And I may bring allusion to that again. And just the fact that we're only going to read about Bartimaeus, I just want to mention a couple other things that happened in that passage of Scripture. There was a young rich man who came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, keep the commandments. He said, I've kept all these from my youth up. One of the things that he asked, the rich young man asked Jesus, what else do I need to do? And he said, sell everything you've got and follow me. And we know the story. The young man went away for sorrowful. And then there's another exchange that takes place as they are along the roadside. Two of the disciples, the apostles, James and John, the sons of thunder, ask him the question. There was a dispute, and he said, what do you want? What do you want to ask me? And they said, we want you to grant us, one of us to sit on your right side and one of us to sit on your left side in the kingdom. And he said, you don't know what you're asking for. That's not mine to give. And, there was a disgruntled group of people that were there. Peter literally came out later than that and said, we've left everything. What about us? How about us? And he said, nobody that's left land or family or anything else for my sake in the gospel will not receive multitudes more. And so we see the great trade here that happens. We see the rich young man that he was wanting to trade good works. He was wanting to trade his good works for salvation. And, as I prayed about that and thought about it, and I think about the difference in these men, there was a time in my life, let's throw it out this way. Bartimaeus, when we get there, and I'll come back to it. So hopefully God will let me come back there. But I want you to see this. And let's read this together. If you will, stand with me as we read the Word of God together, beginning at verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. It says, now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, so they came to Jericho and they're leaving now, with his disciples and a great multitude, a lot of folks. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your precious spirit. And thank you for this peace that we have together here today. We pray that you would be glorified. Help me to get out of your way. Bring to us what you want us to hear today in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, we know that we have a great gift and a great privilege of being able to serve the Lord, but I want us just to kind of look at what happened here. Now, I want us to focus on Bartimaeus just for a little bit here and to see a couple of things that I want you to take note of. One, he was risking a lot. Now, not only is this a great trade or a great exchange, but he was risking changing the rest of his life. You know, he was willing to abandon everything that he might be able to go through something amazing. Literally, he was risking revival. He was risking renewal. He was risking all of these things here. And this, when you see this, some of the things that he had to do to be able to make this trade or this exchange or be able to go through this process is he had to abandon a few things. Now, the culture of that day was much different than ours. If you go through any major city, then you will see that there are literally homeless camps that are out there, that people will gather together, sometimes under a bridge. And as they gather under a bridge, they're there for various reasons. Some choose to be. Some are drug addicts and they don't want any other lifestyle, and some are just bound by that. Some that's, you know, just who they are. But there's some that can't help it, and they are there not by their choice, but because they don't have any other options. But one of the things about it is we see, one of the things that I see, even over in Clinton, I live in high school, and one of the grocery, the old abandoned Kmart that's over there, every now and then I'll see a couple of guys, and they've got an old grocery buggy. So, and they'll have that grocery buggy, and they'll push that around, and it has their belongings in it. And not only this, but also lived in Atlanta for a while, and a lot of homeless folks that were there, and they are very stingy about their turf. So if you have a homeless person, they vie and they work for getting the best spots that they can possibly get. And when they get that best spot, they don't want to give it up. So when you think about that culture, much different than what ours was is today, but also similar in some of the same ways, because some of the same things is they wanted the best spots in the road. Now, they probably didn't have an old Kroger or a Walmart buggy to push their stuff around in then. They probably didn't have some of the resources, but a couple of things that they did have is they would stake their claim in the best spots on the road where that they knew that there would be people that were coming by. And by that, it's kind of you look at it, it's, well, you know, if there's more of them, then I'm liable to get something out of that. When I lived in Atlanta, we lived off of 285. And there was a specific exit on 285, and there was a guy that I would see right there as the cars came off of 285. You know anything about Atlanta? This is a huge traffic. And when I say coming off of 285, you're talking about 200-300 cars that are coming off an exit about every hour, or probably every 5 minutes, just about. And this guy, I called him Santa Claus, because I would see him, there would be a bicycle over there, because he had a big beard and he looked like a skinny Santa Claus. Now, I actually wound up meeting him because I was doing some outreach, and I went into a community that was not far from there that he rode his bicycle to, and I found out, I'm like, and I began to talk to him, and he's like, "No, that's my job." And he told me the amount of money that he made doing that, and I'm like, wow. It was pretty interesting that he did that, but he was one, and he would fight for that spot that was there. Now, not everybody's like that. I'm sharing this for an example, okay? I want you to get it, because this beggar had his spot on a very prominent road coming out of Jericho, and while he's there, he hears the multitude. As Jesus goes into Jericho, he's coming out, so the apostles are with him, the disciples, and we know there are at least 70 at some times, and we also know there were multitudes that followed him, so who knows how many were coming out. But as they come out of Jericho, here is Bartimaeus. He's sitting on the roadside. He's begging. He's got his spot, and he hears the commotion coming. You know, they didn't have the cars and the trucks that we do today, but, you know, people are talking, laughing, shouting, you know, all the things that are happening. The ground probably, and if you think about somebody who is blind, their hearing is much more sensitive, so he probably felt and heard the vibrations in the road of a crowd that was coming, so his hopes begin to get up, and he begins to think, wow, here's a big crowd that's coming. I can get a few coins out of this. But all of a sudden, somebody in the crowd starts talking about Jesus, and how he knew about him, I don't know, but he starts crying out, wait, Jesus is in that crowd? I'm not looking for coins. I can get coins from anybody else. I want to meet Jesus. I've heard that Jesus can heal people. I've heard that Jesus can make blind people see, that he can make deaf people hear, that he can make lame people walk. And he starts crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And just like many of us would do, hey, be quiet. We can't hear Jesus talking. You need to be quiet. You know, quit talking. You know, this is Jesus. He's coming by here. We want to hear what Jesus has to say. We don't want to hear what you say. You're just an old beggar hanging on the side of the road. And he didn't stop. He was persistent. And he cried out more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And finally, Jesus, the word gets back to him, or he hears him, and he says, go get that guy. And he brings him to Jesus. And what an amazing thing this is. Many warned him there in verse 46. Jesus stood still. I love that. And commanded him to be called in verse 49. Then they called the blind man. Changed their tune there, didn't they? Shut up. You know, quit talking. We can't hear Jesus. But all of a sudden, their tune changed. And then it becomes, hey, they called the blind man, saying to him, cheer up, buddy. You know, he's calling you. Jesus wants to talk to you. Wow. You know, that's a big exchange right there, and it's a big trade. And all of a sudden, they stop listening, and all of a sudden, the people in the crowd have seen Jesus heal people before, and they knew what was coming. They're like, whew, this is awesome. We're fixing to get to see Jesus bring a blind man back to where that he can see again. And man, they jump all over that, and they get all fired up. And here's what's interesting to me. Think about Bartimaeus. He had his spot in the road. Now, some of the translation says not his garment, but his cloak. And that cloak or that garment or that robe was something in that culture that a blind man would use also for warmth, but it was also basically his bed. It was his home. It was literally where he lived in that cloak. And that when people would come by, he would spread that cloak out on the way so that people might toss a few coins in that. And here's the wonderful thing that I love about this is that Bartimaeus, when he hears that Jesus is calling for him, he throws aside his garment, he rose, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, that I may receive my sight. Contrast with the people that I mentioned already. I've been where Bartimaeus was at different times in my life. I've been like Paul. I've had everything I've wanted, and I've had absolutely nothing. You know, and as I prayed about this and thought this contrast myself, I've been in that place before where I had $12 in my wallet and a car that I had to pray over, hoping that it would get me where I needed to go. And if Jesus had called me right then, it'd be like, that's awesome. That is much better than what I got now. Let's go. You know, the ruler had everything. Now, I don't have everything, but I've got a house. We bought a HUD house and we've worked on it, and it's not paid for, but it's got equity in it. We've got cars. We've got a little money in the bank. We've got toys. We've got all of that. So when you stop and think about that, it's a much bigger decision. But when you are desperate is when you follow Jesus. And, you know, God can make the rich people and the well-off people desperate so that they will follow Him. Been there and done that too. So, you know, that you can go through that process to where that you think you got it all and you're holding on to it. And Jesus says, that's cool, but I got something better for you and I need you to let go of that. And since you won't let go of it, I'm going to take it away from you. And then you come back to the place where that you're desperate. So now, when we see this, Jesus gave him sight and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. So, Bartimaeus abandoned his pride. He was already a beggar. You know, beggars didn't have a lot of pride, obviously. You know, but whatever pride he had, he abandoned that pride and he kept yelling. He abandoned his prophets. You know, he had a good spot in the road. Obviously, he had a good spot in the road because there was a big crowd coming by, and he was probably one of the elite of the beggars of that day. He might have been the one that ran that road as far as the homeless world would look at, and he abandoned that up. He abandoned his prophets, his loud behavior. Here's a crowd of people coming by, and I'm sure when he heard the crowd first, he's thinking, yes. I'm going to get a little bit of money out of that crowd. But all of a sudden, he starts when he hears that Jesus is coming. His loud behavior causes people to tell him, shut up. You know, if you're telling somebody to shut up, you're not giving them money, right? You know, you're like, okay, you're just too loud for us. We're going over here to these other guys that are quiet. So he abandoned his pride. He abandoned his prophets. And here's the thing we need to understand. When you start living loud for Jesus, people may start avoiding you. People may start saying, that guy's weird. All he talks about Jesus. You know, amen. You know, when we look at it and we see it in that direction, he abandoned his pride, he abandoned his prophets, he abandoned his position. If you look at this, he gave up his good spot in the road. Some of you, if you want to make this great trade, now let me back up. Rich man came to Jesus, he wanted eternal life, and he thought his good works were enough, and he thought, man, I'm a good man, I've kept all the commandments. Jesus said, that's awesome, but one thing you lack. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. I wonder, years later, if this young man thought about it, wow, that really was the Savior. That was the Messiah. You know, James and John, sons of thunder. We want to trade our commitment, Jesus. We want to trade our commitment for the best seats in the house when we get to heaven. One man wanted to change his good works. Two brothers wanted to change their commitment. This one blind beggar traded everything he had for the greatest thing that he could possibly ever receive. Can you imagine? And by the way, one of the things, and I'm not sure of this, but I think Bartimaeus, I don't think, he might not be the only one, but he's one of the only people in the New Testament that was healed that we know their name. You know, we know the blind man. We know we called him Legion. The demoniac. I like to call him the man formerly possessed. We don't know his name. You know, the guy that had his arm stretched out and Jesus healed. We don't know who that was. The widow that Jesus touched the coffin. We don't know their names. But we know Bartimaeus' name. And why is that? Because I believe that it says immediately he went off and took off and followed after Jesus. I believe that people knew who he was. That yes, he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. Luke 9:23 says, let whosoever will come after me. You know, let whosoever will, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me if you want to be my disciple. These guys, the rich man left nothing. James and John, you know, they went through what Jesus said they would have to go through, but Bartimaeus, he left a lot. You know, by the way, we sang that song up there, you know, I'm trading my past. You know, what a great thought that is. Bartimaeus was a beggar. Now he is somebody that can see and see, and walking with Jesus. What a testimony. You know, some of you, if you want to risk this trade, or you want to risk this revival or this personal renewal, some of you are going to have to give up some things. And why do I know that? Because I went through this myself, and I'm praying for it, thinking, okay, there's a lot of things that I hold on to. If I would just let go of, God has something better for me. There's an old song that Stephen Curtis Chapman sang 15, 20 years ago, probably. It's called Wake Up, or I See the Glory, is what it's called. And there was a line in that song, and I listened to it as I was praying about this, and he said, I'm playing Game Boy standing in the middle of the Grand Canyon. Imagine that. You ever gone on vacation and you're there and you're looking at these amazing sights and you look over and somebody is so engaged in their phone or trying to tell somebody else where they're at that they're not in the moment? We're like that with Jesus. You know, we're like, oh, let's, hey, and we go through that process the way that it is. But the other lines of that song, it said, I'm playing Game Boy, standing in the middle of the Grand Canyon. I'm eating candy, sitting at a gourmet feast. You know, unless you're 5 years old. Can you imagine going to the, over on Clinton Highway, the steakhouse buffet? Or, you know, the Pizza Inn buffet, or go to the Golden Corral or Sony's or whatever. Here's all this food, and you look at it and like, I got some Pez, I'm going to eat that. You know, I've got some Skittles, you know. Right there's that big feast. That's what you and I do as Christians. God, Jesus wants so much more for us, but we get so content with where we are in the journey. It's like, this is good. I'm good. I don't want to risk anything else. I don't want to give up anything else. I'm good. I know I've got my ticket to heaven. We're good to go. When if we would just step out and do what Bartimaeus did, throw it all behind, follow after him, he's got so much more for us. It's another line in that song. It said, I'm waiting in a puddle when I could be swimming in the ocean. You know, it made me think of Ezekiel when he told him, walk out of the temple. It was up to his ankles, into his knees, into his waist, and then to a place that he couldn't even, that he had to swim to get around in. God has so much more for us. You know, he has so much more for us. I love what Bartimaeus, Jesus asked the question to the young ruler, or the young ruler asked the question, how did I get eternal life? Jesus told him, keep the commandments. I did that. Well, do a little more. You know, it's not about your works. Make a commitment. James and John, he asked them, what do you want? We want the best. He asked Bartimaeus, what do you want? I just want to see. Sometimes it's that simple, you know. Bartimaeus left everything he had and followed Jesus. He received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Is there anything better than that? I'm on the board of the Baptist Collegiate Ministries of the University of Tennessee, and they do something every week, and it's wonderful. You know, there's 40,000 people, I guess, on campus there now from all over the world, and they go out and share the gospel with people every week. You know what they call it? They call it the Great Exchange. Oh, that's pretty cool. That's what's happening here. People are trying to trade something. The ruler tried to trade his good works. James and John tried to trade their commitment. Bartimaeus is trading. You can have it. You know, I'm leaving my cloak. You know, I don't know that he ever went back and got it even. Why did he need it anymore? You know? But what a blessing that is. So what's God calling you? Just kind of two or three things. Some of you might have to give up certain places, positions that you might have in the community or others in order for God to give you more. Some may have to give up the times that we hold on to. Sometimes you might have to give up your standing in the community or even in the church. Because God wants you to do something. You know, the trivial things that we think are trivial usually are the ones that God looks with the most favor on. But we think, oh, the pastor, that's the big one. You know, the preacher, the worship leader. And when a lot of times it's just the simple things like you guys are doing with the Tabitha's table. You know, just simple things that you can do. And everybody here has a gift. You've got something that you can do. There is something that you can do, and you can do it well. Are you using those gifts for God? You know, are you making that trade? Maybe there's something God needs to heal you of. It might be a physical deal. It might be blindness. It might be an ailment. It might be spiritual. You know, there might be things in our lives that we need to just abandon. Just like Bartimaeus abandoned his coat. It might be a stronghold of sin that's in your life that you've just not been able to beat that out. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every thought, imagination, and bringing it captive to Jesus. He can destroy the strongholds in our lives. Whatever it is, we just yield that to Him. So, what do we do with this? Why don't you just do this? Just bow your heads with me right now and ask God, God, what do you want me to do with this message, this thought today? What am I trying to trade you for eternity? Am I trying to own my good works? Am I trying to own my commitment? I want to just have that faith that Bartimaeus did, to be willing to just leave everything and just follow you. Yes, it's easier when there's nothing. You know, God knows our hearts. He knows where we are. And He knows what we need. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for the hope that we have. I thank you for Bartimaeus. Lord, we like to call him blind Bartimaeus, but he's not blind now. No, he was, but he's not blind now. And God, I pray that there would be scriptures of us through our testimony that would show who we were, but who we are now in Christ. And God, whatever we need to abandon, things that we may need to trade off, or we just pray that we'd make that trade this morning. If there's someone here without Jesus who doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, we pray that today is the day of salvation. Lord, that you would stir their hearts and that they would yield to you. And God, we know that it's not your desire for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And Lord, we pray for the church. Lord, you know the needs that are here. And we just pray for your consistency, for your healing, for your blessing. Just pray, Lord, that you'd touch every person, every member. And just pray, God, as we seek you, that we would recognize your peace and your presence. Lord, move as you want, just in the way that you can, in the way that you will. Whatever people need to do, help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, and if you need to come, Brother Jack's going to be up here. If there's anything you need to pray about, you know, just be obedient and come to the Lord right now.
love.